Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we'll be discussing HBO killing yet another franchise. Nice job, Zaslav. Netflix has ads, congratulations, but our main topic this week are politics ruining our entertainment. That should be nice and juicy. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm well, Senator. Troy Heinrichs.
I have to pay $6.99 for the privilege of actually getting shit shoved in my brain.
Well, it's kind of like Prime. Where you, never mind. We're not gonna. We'll wait to have this discussion.
Let it breathe.
Hello, everybody. How are you today? How's that?
That sounds good. Amanda will not be here. She's off for a couple weeks. I don't know. I think she might be back next week. I don't know yet, but we'll see. She's started a new endeavor, and she'll be here when she has time. She's got a lot going on, so good for her. Congratulations.
Yay for Amanda.
Yay for Amanda. Everybody listening, yay for Amanda.
No, actually, screw Amanda. She lives in a place where there's 300 days of sunshine every year.
Yes, she just moved to Colorado. And now there's probably one. There's always one listener that's a little too attached. I assume they're probably there now. But really, if you join Patreon, we'll give you the address.
This is foreshadowing for later when we talk about I Am a Stalker on Netflix.
Right. Or you can just send me money directly and I'll get you her address.
Wow. We're awful people. Okay. Well, speaking of awful people, what a segue. So HBO, they're having a year. Boy, they are having a year. Their stock price has plummeted. I guess David Zaslav has a plan. He was cutting a lot of revenue, whatnot. And I get it. There's a lot of debt. They want to curb that debt. Fine. And also curb our enthusiasm to tie in to their show. Well, Westworld has come to an end. Westworld. HBO Discovery's David Zaslav has struck again as HBO canceled Westworld after season 4 and before what would have been the show's final season. That's what Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy have already said. HBO said, no. So we don't get that. We don't get a movie. Troy, we have done the Beyond Westworld podcast for several years. Since the inception, we were the very first Westworld podcast available on the interwebs. Truth. That is truth. True. And we do not get a final season. What do you think?
I think it's great. What? I think this makes every sense because when we did the final episode of the Beyond Westworld podcast at the end of season 4, we said the ending sucked unless it was a series finale, in which case then it was awesome. And guess what? It's now the series finale. So the ending was fantastic to the end of season 4.
I don't think that's what I said. You can go check that tape. I don't think I said that. I think what I said was...
That's what you said.
I said it wasn't a great finale, but it works as a series finale. I didn't say I loved it. It works as a series finale. If we didn't come back, fine. But boy, people are not happy.
But hey, you know, great. David listening to our podcast. Awesome, David. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Yeah, that's what happened.
You know, taking our advice.
That's what happened. He was listening. Seriously, I mean, we've got, you know, our Beyond Westworld group has like 30,000 members, and I think 28,000 of them were just enraged, just very, very, very unhappy. Now, John, as somebody who, you stopped watching Westworld, right? You just stopped in season 2, I think, if I remember right.
I didn't even make it to season 2. I watched the first few episodes of season 2, and I went, nah.
So I want to ask you a direct question.
Okay, I'll give you a direct answer.
I appreciate that. It would be really weird if you didn't. Mm-hmm. Season 1, mm-hmm. I would argue, one of the best seasons of television of all time, overall, as one season.
I agree.
Okay.
Agree.
So, agree. Look, Troy, this isn't your question. Hold off. Why did you stop watching?
I was just confirming John's response. John felt better about his answer.
Understood. Why did you quit? What made you say only a few episodes and you're done? Because I see this as a trend. It's not something that's very uncommon. It was a very common occurrence. People watched season 2 and then they stopped coming back.
You're right. Season 1 was just a perfect season of television and a perfect season of entertainment, period. And to come back and start with the way season 2 started, which I barely remember how it started... I just recall sitting there watching season 2 and thinking to myself, I just don't care. And I don't know why I stopped caring about those characters. Maybe it was the span of time between season 1 and season 2, because I remember that window being pretty big. It just stopped resonating with me as a good story and something that I wanted to stick with, because I just felt like season 1 was chef kiss good.
Oh, it's fantastic. My son has an argument that he feels if the show would have only been one season, it would have been heralded as one of the greatest limited series of all time.
I would agree with that. I would wholeheartedly agree with that.
I agree as well.
Okay, Trey, now we're back to you. So you're glad that they said we're done, other than the fact that it kills one podcast, but of course it can't be Blacklist because that thing's going to live forever like a freaking zombie.
I mean, I think it would have been interesting to see, you know, from where it ended and where it could have gone. I think I'm disappointed to not know what would have come next and how they would have made it different from the first season because of how it all ended back up, basically back at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like we were on a loop, huh? That point, I'm disappointed. But at the end of the day, the ending was such a bad ending for season four that it was kind of like we said, it's like it would have worked as a series finale. And I think that it's a pretty decent series finale based on all of the seasons we did sit through and how it all kind of wrapped together. That at the end of the day, if humans make robots, robots are going to be no different than humans. It's kind of the same exact thing that Battlestar Galactica touched on. That the loop and continuation is going to happen no matter what. So we actually need aliens to build robots, is what we decided.
Of course you would say that. So in your mind, this makes the series better as a whole. Because do you think they would have tried too hard? Because that is one of the arguments, right? People that watch Westworld said, you're trying too hard. You're being too complicated. You're overthinking your own show. And you and I talked about it when we did that podcast. There were many episodes where like, okay, you think you're smarter than everybody watching your own show. And that's just not the way to approach making a television show. You don't want to make your audience feel like you just think you're better than them. And that, oftentimes it would come across that way. Not in the challenging way, not in the challenging intellectually way, but where it would come across as we're better than you. You just don't get it. One of those mindsets.
And I think that we had the one listener that commented and they said, you know, basically Westworld broke down into four things, right? Is there free will? Is free will free? Can't remember what they all were. But basically it was like, it was all about free will. And it was very poetic the way they described it. And you can go listen to it on the Beyond Westworld podcast. I think it was at the end of the finale that we had that comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think based on the way that is resonating in my brain, I kind of like the way season four ended and the show now ended because that makes sense to me. It's really a show about free will. It's not a show about humans and robots.
So let me ask you, following that up, what would you recommend to people? Would you say go back and actually watch the series that you missed? Or would you say, you know what, if you quit in season two, you walked away clean?
I found it.
Season one, what is free will? Season two, who has free will? Season three, is free will really free? And season four, does free will even exist?
Yeah. I think those four concepts really make the show that much better. And I think part of the challenge with the show is that season one is a damn near perfect 10-hour movie.
It's perfect.
Like if you were to have the choice to sit down and watch the 3 extended edition Lord of the Rings or 10 episodes of Westworld season one, 10 episodes of Westworld season one, I think would actually win. And I am a huge Lord of the Rings fan. The problem with season two was that because season one was so creative in its twists and turns and surprises, people tried to think too much, right? Top Gun Maverick, don't think, just do. And if you just sit down and look at season two as a whole and watch season two as one sitting, as a 10-hour movie, season two actually works pretty brilliantly.
They all work. And they all work in hindsight.
Yeah. Three is a little bit of a different show. So you have to just be prepared that three is a different show. And four is actually very reminiscent of season one, almost too much in a way. It's almost like watching the 7th Star Wars movie being a reflection of the 4th Star Wars movie. So, but at the end of the day, it's really, really well done. When the reveals actually happen, you're kind of like, oh, it had that season one kind of like shock and awe to it.
Yeah.
Until you get to the very, 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 very end and you're like, oh, that's kind of like a really crappy way to expose the last hour. And I'm just kind of like, no.
But it does work as a series finale. It does.
You kind of need that exposition because now it is a series finale and it makes sense.
It's the kind of series finale where you would, you're going to have to, where do you want it to go? It's really kind of similar to the show itself. where it's basically positing, where do you want your story to go? That's kind of how the finale ends. Basically, where do you see the story going? It's kind of in your head. So it's leaving it up to the viewer, which is not a bad thing. And, you know, it is a, I've liked every season. I haven't disliked any of it, but we'll see. I still say four seasons in a movie. Let's hashtag it. Hashtag four seasons in a movie. Let's see if we can community this and maybe we'll get a movie to wrap it up the way that the showrunners wanted to. But, you know, it is what it is. We got to move on to Netflix with ads.
Well, we should say Westworld was actually produced by Bad Robot, J.J. Abrams' company. So the way the season four ending happens is a very Bad Robot ending.
Jesus Christ, we stopped for that.
Yeah, we had a good momentum going, and then you ruined it. All right, well, Netflix with ads has begun. For $6.99, you can hear once again. I'm sorry. Netflix with ads has begun. For $6.99 a month, you can once again have TV just like you always have known it. It's like the same thing you grew up with, except now you're paying $6.99 for it instead of just watching it on your TV. You got annoying commercials. There's about 4 to 5 minutes worth per hour. But many showrunners are also upset. Their shows are being interrupted with ads like Shonda Rhimes and Mike Flanagan. They're not happy. It's interrupting our storytelling. But that's not deterring Netflix. They're going forward. You can also still pay extra for no commercials. So it's not like that isn't an option. It's just if you want to watch these shows and not have to pay, you know, the premium price, you got to deal with some ads. What do you think about this option, John?
I actually don't think it's that bad of a deal. $6.99 to get some commercials, just like you would with Hulu or any of these other services, or you pay whatever you want for whatever other tier of service you get. I've been I've been enjoying a lot of Freevee, which is Amazon Prime's free with commercials kind of service that you have access to. And I'm finding that the commercials aren't really that big of a deal. I appreciate it because I'm not watching anything on there that I haven't seen 1.5 billion times already, or anything that I have to pay 100% of attention to. So it's really just there as noise, and the commercials aren't really that big of a deal, except for that stupid Splat commercial for Nintendo Switch. Splat, splat, splat. That's making me crazy. I think I might kill somebody over that commercial. But
that's so wild.
Overall, like, the idea of $6.99 for commercials, that's appealing to somebody specific, somebody, you know, a college student or somebody who's trying to save some money, or somebody who's doing the same thing I'm doing with Freevee, which is throwing something on the TV that they've seen 1.5 billion times and not really caring what it is, just so that they can have background noise.
I don't know what people are freaking out about this option. Like, there are people genuinely mad about it. I'm like, it's not forcing you to take it. If you already have the $20 premium 4K option with no commercials, it affects you in no way, shape, or form. It's only if you
absolutely
want that plan. That's it. What's the big deal?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
You know, that's the thing. I don't understand why people are freaking out about it. I think they're afraid of Netflix saying, okay, we're going to finally throw commercials at you for $6.99. And what's going to stop them from eventually, for those people paying $20 a month for the 4K HDR version, like, what's going to stop them for charging those people more or making them watch commercials? And the answer is you pay more money. That's bottom line. I doubt they'll ever go after anyone that pays more than $7 a month for commercials.
I mean, they might.
The bottom line is that it's not Freevee, okay? Freevee is free. I don't have to pay for Freevee to get ads.
I think you have to have Amazon Prime to do it, though. I don't think you can watch it without.
You have to have Amazon Prime.
Right, exactly. You have to have Amazon Prime.
That's not free.
Which doesn't have ads.
But that's not free. So
all Netflix had to do is say, they just had to say, I have basic, $10 a month. I get Netflix, no ads. And then the somewhat shittier shows that people don't want to watch get ads.
They already have this. Literally, that Netflix has a $9.99 no commercial option. $6.99 is for people that want to pay a little bit less and are willing to deal with commercials because they're okay with 4 to 5 minutes. So
for $3 a month,
Hey, man, you don't judge other people's finances. You don't know how tight some people have it.
I'm saying if you can afford $6.99, you can probably afford $9.99.
I've Otherwise, seen many you shouldn't people
be paying for Netflix at all.
On.
Hang on.
This is coming from the guy who's playing who plays Russian roulette with streaming services every single month.
Yeah, every month. You're like, I'm going to do the trial on this one. I'm going to cancel this one. I'm going to do that. So if you can afford one service, you obviously can afford the other service. Why do you need to do this? It's a great point, John.
You're welcome.
I'm interested.
I'm just saying, I'm not paying $7 for the privilege to have someone stick things into my brain that do not belong there. It was the same thing with Peacock. Peacock was $5 with ads and then $10 for no ads. So I'm paying more to get ads on Netflix than I did on Peacock.
Do you season your steak with hypocrisy salt?
Right. I'm not a mathematician. I don't know how numbers work. I don't know what the all the symbols are. But a good majority of the people are going to say $10 a month and I get no ads and it's okay. Great. Another smaller amount of those people are going to say, hey, $6 a month. And then I get to watch ads.
$7 a month.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you get it.
You get it. Like the whole thing is like, mathematically speaking, there will be a bunch of people who will decide that $3 charge is worth saving to just sit down and have ads. It's just going to work out that way.
Especially when you have multiple streaming services that are competing for the same dollar. I mean, all that stuff adds up. $3 here, $3 there, $3 there. That's, you know, that can add up to $20 a month.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, Hulu is $7.99 a month with ads, so a dollar more, but then their non-ad plan jumps an entire $7 to $14.99 a month.
So well, then you're getting a bargain. Netflix coming in at $6.99. Nothing to complain about. Nothing. There's a bargain there. It's a bargain. It's a deal. Netflix is saving you money. It's a great deal. What are you arguing to get for? Are you just trying to get the opposite point for no reason? I don't understand what your point is.
No. I'm just saying Netflix... An ad tier for Netflix should have been $4.99 or less. That's what I'm saying. That there isn't enough incentive for me to buy the ad tier. Why is whatever the company
decided, you always say, nah, should have been in this. Like, why do you always know better than Netflix, the multi-billion-dollar corporation?
Because I'm looking at the whole purpose of this is to get subscribers, right? So if I'm coming into Hulu, for example, and I look at it and say, ooh, $8 a month or $15 a month, that's a significant difference that I might say, you know what? I'm going to sign up for the $8 a month because that's a big jump. But if I'm looking at $7 a month or $10 a month, I'm like, I could go without one Starbucks a month.
And maybe that's part of the marketing plan because you know that they've done 1,000 surveys and everything else. And what they're doing is they're looking at like, maybe we can get them people that weren't looking at Netflix to look at Netflix because of the ads plan. They see that, whoa, $3 more and I got no ads. Bam. And they sign up for that. Or they sign up for the $7 one, and then they sign up for $10 because they do want to just no ads. So it's actually not a bad strategy. $7 is a much higher hike. I think that's actually a bad plan. So
right
there you go.
Okay, let's move forward.
All right, enough of this. We're gonna find out some more.
Oh, we are. But now
we got to talk about the content side though. So no, like don't. Shonda Rhimes and all these guys that are saying like it's gonna ruin the stories. So that's going to be a challenge for Netflix is that I haven't had to write stories to commercial breaks. So how are these commercials going to work? Are they going to be front and back like Hulu does? Are they going to be scattered throughout like YouTube?
They've already laid it out and they've stated that they're finding the natural break. So the algorithm or whatnot finds the natural break and inserts commercials there.
Yeah, because that's worked so well on YouTube when I literally get a YouTube ad in the middle of my content.
Then pay the $3.
YouTube doesn't give a shit.
They sure don't. They do it on Freevee. They do it on Freevee because I've watched Leverage on Freevee, and that's Leverage Redemption, sorry. And they very much insert them there. And I don't think it's perfect, but, I mean, pay the extra money if you don't want it. You know, that's just the way it goes.
I don't get a choice on Freevee, though.
You're right. It's different. Let's move on. Thanks to Lauren Thomas Williams for tipping us off on this one. Theodore Farnsworth and J. Michael Lowe from MoviePass were indicted on fraud charges. The duo allegedly engaged in a scheme to defraud investors through materially false and misleading representations by falsely claiming that MoviePass's $9.95 unlimited plan, in which new subscribers could see unlimited movies in theaters with no blackout dates for a flat monthly fee of $9.95, was tested, sustainable, and will be profitable or break even on subscription fees alone. Allegedly, Farnsworth and Lowe knew that the $9.95 unlimited plan was a temporary marketing gimmick to grow new subscribers. To me, if I'm one of those investors that was affected by this, I kind of blame myself because I think we talked about this when this launched, that there's no way this is sustainable. zero way it's sustainable. What do you think, Troy? Do you feel like this is just an obvious slam dunk? These guys are going to go to jail?
Well, partly it's false advertising from an SEC perspective. So yeah, they're going to go to jail. At the same time, the investors, if you're looking at the math, you're supposed to like check this stuff.
Yeah.
And you didn't check this stuff. So therefore, you should be just as dumb as these two guys because you didn't think it through. Because there's no way this was going to, especially when the plan already existed at $40 a month before they dropped the price to $9.95.
Mm-hmm.
So the company was profitable at 40 bucks a month. Why do you think it's going to be profitable at $9.95 with 18 bazillion times the number of subscribers? Like the math just did not make sense.
Yep, not even a little bit. Absolutely nuts.
They could have had a $9.95 plan where they showed commercials during the middle of the movie and then a $19.95 plan.
Jesus Christ.
To see whatever you wanted.
I don't even know why. Why did I even try to throw this in there? We should have just moved all the way on. Move all the way on. Remember, you can. John, did you have anything you wanted to add to this? I'm sorry. I didn't want to be rude.
I don't matter on this one.
Okay. Well, remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We're on Facebook, The Hollywood Outsider, and of course, we're on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. Our show is independently funded. Therefore, all of the expenses are from our own pockets. And Patreon helps fans support the favorite podcast. There are different levels and perks you can get with each tier. And once you sign up, you get immediate access to all content in your respective tier. Now that you understand what it is, just go to patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. That's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. And you can sign up. And that's where you can earn your perks. Speaking of perks, one of our Patreon supporters activated their perk and they want their own personal movie reviewed. That's right. Jack Hunter, who is a Patreon supporter, has made a film called Blamed. It is called Blamed, and he wants us to review it. Now, we are still going to review it fair and square, but thanks, Jack, for all your patronage, and here we go. John.
All right, so Blamed. Several children have gone missing and found brutally murdered. Jason Stawes has been accused of the murders and set free due to a lack of evidence. Kayla Berry, a four-year-old, is still missing. This is Blamed. So this actually is written by our friend Jack Hunter, also our friend and Patreon member. It stars him as well as Jeff Kringendahl and a few other people. Jeff Roberts is also in here. So Aaron, we both sat down and watched this. Blamed is one of these highly independent films. Of course, we know that because Jack Hunter's involved and he is a listener. So he's not somebody who's actually well entrenched in Hollywood. A lot of what he does turns out to be very big passion projects. He has a genre of horror that he likes to dance around in, and he and his cohorts developed these films, and I think his past films were all kind of piecemeal from other people throughout the country who wanted to share in his stories.
Kind of like a VHS theme, like a VHS theme,
yeah.
With Paranoia Tapes is the series that he's talking about, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So with all that in mind, how do you feel about the production of Blamed?
Well, I mean, it's a found footage genre. It's an extremely low budget found footage movie. So in terms of production, it's definitely looking about as minuscule budgeted as you would imagine. I will say I've seen some of the other Paranoia Tapes. This is definitely one of the better options that he's done. I think there's a lot of creativity here. They're trying to improvise quite a bit in terms of how the storytelling is done, or maybe not improvise, but they're being creative in how the storytelling is done. It's basically, it's like a mix of found footage and clips from newscasts and also surveillance footage. So it's a very eclectic mix in terms of production.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of interesting use of the technology that he had available to him. You know, some of the quibbles that I had with his choices that he was making, that there was the on-screen text that was coming from the text messages from an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been something that was better executed through the, I feel like, through the intro credits. So he could have used that whole bit of storytelling while he's doing the intro credits to really condense some time, but also make better use of the real estate that he's working with on there.
Well, I think it would be better if it was Google. Should have been Google, man. Google's the way to go. Don't use an iPhone. Use Google. That's the problem. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out why Troy is wearing a wife beater at the moment. But yeah, that is part of the problem. Did any of the performances in this stick out to you at all?
Not particularly. The main villain, I guess, if that's what you would call them. There's basically a captor takes the accused hostage and is threatening their livelihood, and that's part of what's being filmed. And that whole performance was kind of interesting, and it's got a very cool, like, venomous mask that I kind of dug. I really dug the look of it, and that was a fun play.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty fun play. I thought Jack coming on screen and doing his thing, I think he's shown some real big growth in the last few years since the last thing we've seen him do.
Yep.
So I was really taken by his performance for the most part. The Venom mask wearing character, I think there should have been some more play done with the lighting in the room to take advantage of some of the effects that was being, like, the mask itself does.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the reveal at the end, which I thought was pretty spectacular. Is there anything in this story that resonated with you?
Well, I mean, it's about a father and his child goes missing, and therefore, and this person is accused of doing something to that child. So, yeah, I'm a dad. It connects for sure. I like the idea concept-wise. I like that you pointed out Jack's grown as an actor. He has. The concept is really cool. I think what my biggest reservations about the entire movie are I'm kind of personally burned out on found footage as a mm-hmm, genre. Mm-hmm. It's something that I've seen done way too much in recent years. What I would like to have seen, and this is like a, you know, we always talk about this when we review a movie, you can't really look at what you wanted done, but I would like to see if they did a sequel or something, because Jack's kind of has a focus on sequels. If he did the sequel to it, you know, with the same main villain, I would like to see it done in actual footage. I would like to see it done in the really real world, as it were.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. It's, you know, Jack's growing as an actor. He's growing as a writer. It's time to see him grow in his production style to develop something that's more of a conventional movie versus something that's found footage or using found footage methods to tell a story.
Yeah.
All right. So if $10 full price admission, what do you give Blamed?
I give it 4. It's, and keep in mind, found footage is a genre that I am burned out on. So I'm trying to acknowledge that. But I do think, I think he's definitely growing, and I look forward to seeing what he does next. And I would like to see it in the real world. That's what I want to see, Jack, if you're listening. So I'm sure you are.
Is he listening?
I'm sure he is.
Do we have to pay him to have him listen to our show?
Yes. That's how it works.
Okay.
He pays us, we pay him. That's how it works. Check is in the mail. All right.
The check is in the mail. Gotcha. I'm going to go with $4 also. I like the idea of $4 because of the amount of growth that I'm seeing in his storytelling, the amount of growth that I'm seeing in his actual acting. $4 is good for me.
All right. Now, is there any recent film or TV recommendations not previously discussed? I want to talk before anybody else does. I'm taking over. I saw a movie called Till, based on the story of Emmett Till, but it's more about Mammy Till Bradley, who is Emmett Till's mother. Now, if you don't know the story, it's a horrific story where a young black boy goes to Mississippi. He's from Chicago. He's used to living large. He goes to Mississippi, where it's a different world, and he ends up talking to a white woman when he shouldn't. This is a true story. And he is kidnapped from his cousin's home and beaten to death. And then, while you would think that this is what the story revolves around, it's really about how his mother proceeds to handle it, because it was instrumental in the Civil Rights Act and a lot of civil rights advancement over the decades. What Mammy did was, rather than kind of go and just take things as they are and go back and hide in the shadows, she put on a full display of her son. She had an open casket funeral where she invited the general public to come and witness what they had done to her boy. And because this was finally a child's face that was completely unrecognizable to the world. I mean, people that only his mother could recognize that face, the way that it was decimated, that put into motion just a chain of events that changed the course of America. She also went to Mississippi to testify in her son's behalf, because they tried to actually make a defense that nobody can really verify that was her son. It's a horrific time, horrific story. But her tale, and it's led by Diana Deadweiler as Mammy, her performance, Oscar worthy, like perfection. It's 100% perfection. It's beautiful from start to finish. She is a powerful, powerful presence. It's a beautiful film. I know it sounds horrific, and it was very hard for other people in the audience to watch. There was a young woman that had to leave because it was too impactful for her. It's just one of those movies where I think more people need to talk about it because this is not getting much attention for whatever reason. You know, Black Adam's getting all its attention, but Till is a fantastic movie, a powerful story, and I really just hope people find it. You might not find it in a theater because I'm sure it's leaving soon. Find it when it hits video. It is absolutely worth every penny that you can pay for it. I give it $9 out of 10.
Very cool. How about what have you seen, Troy?
I was watching I Am a Stalker on Netflix.
Autobiography?
No. more in the way shit's happening to me, actually, to be truthful. After watching the first two episodes of I Am a Stalker, I was kind of like, hey, I might have one. And so I took advice of the show and actually went to the police. And I was just like, yeah, this is something that we have to take care of, because the things that happen in this show are like following a stalker each episode and their journey and how they started off seemed like they were pretty normal people. And then it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. Multiple jail times.
Oh, wow.
One of them involved a murder that happened. And it's just like, okay, this is not something you watch before bed, but it was riveting nonetheless. So highly recommend it. It's a limited TV series. Check it out. I Am a Stalker on Netflix. I would say first couple episodes, I'd give it a 6.5, 7. So I watched after the first half hour, I switched my phone and I watched it at 1.5x speed just because it's a lot of dialogue. But interesting, the whole mechanics behind stalkering and how the cops investigate that stuff.
Stalkering?
You just had to watch it at double speed, huh? 1.5x speed.
It was late and I wanted to get through the first episode and get to the second episode because I was like, okay, this guy's definitely a cuckoo. I want to see what the second guy does.
Do they stalk faster?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure he sounds crazy when he's like,
you guys do this all the time. It's no different than listening to Audible at 1.5 or podcasts at 1.5. It's not.
I don't do either.
We don't listen to anything at 1.5 because we're not insane. We're not monsters.
The only thing that I do at 1.5 is maybe YouTube, and it depends on what it is.
And lovemaking.
Your brain trains itself after a while to hear the cadence of the speaker. So when you hear the speaker and you're just
going
to speed it up and you start talking like this, and it's okay because you know the cadence of the speaker. So you listen to the speaker at the speed.
Yeah, that's pseudoscience. I don't buy it. Anyhow, I watched from Roku. I watched Weird this weekend, and that's Daniel Radcliffe's debut as Weird Al Yankovic in the Weird Al Yankovic story. And oh my God, it might be my favorite movie of the whole year.
Really? That feels like right up your alley.
Yeah, it definitely was right up my alley. It doesn't take itself serious in any way, shape, or form. It is Weird Al's comedy 100%. If you've been watching anything that Weird Al has ever done, it is right there with what he thinks is funny. And it is really just a joy to watch. And Daniel Radcliffe and Rachel Evan Wood, swear to God that this story is 100% true. I have my doubts.
It's not 100% true. It's 1,000% not true. There's no way it's
right.
True.
It's not true. Well, I am still convinced that he wrote Eat It before Michael Jackson wrote Beat It. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. All right.
It was a lot of fun. I was laughing. I was crying. I'm going to go to Weird Al's memorial. It's really a good time. And if you get a chance to sit down and watch the Weird Al story, which there's an awful lot of Daniel Radcliffe walking around without a shirt on, and dude is ripped, man.
He's ripped.
He is unreasonably in good shape, you know. And then they got Rachel Evan Wood as Madonna, and that works, man. It really works. It's a special moment.
I also saw Enola Holmes 2, which I don't know if you guys watch Enola Holmes, but I like this series. It's Millie Bobby Brown as Enola Holmes, who's the sister of Sherlock Holmes, who's played by Henry Cavill. So
right. You
got Superman in there. And this time she's taking on a case to find a missing girl, and it revolves around actually a real-life historical situation. It's fun, and Harry Bradbeer returns as the director. It's fun. It's engaging. It kind of has a very similar vibe to the Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. series, like in terms of how it's shot and how it moves and how it flows and and the action and whatnot. And it's just, it's fun. It's one of those great little family films that I think more people should probably give a chance to. It's on Netflix. So if you haven't seen it, Enola Holmes 2 is definitely worth watching. Millie Bobby Brown is a very talented actress. She can do a lot of things.
I really wanted to sit down and watch it because I did enjoy the first one. I just didn't have time this weekend to sit down and watch it. I was too busy with reruns of Kitchen Nightmares or something. That was more important.
Okay. Hey, before we move on, Ben Foster, an Academy Award winner, Michael Caine, star in the action-packed epic Medieval, now streaming on Redbox. This sweeping saga of war and betrayal is inspired by the true story of one of the greatest warriors in history. A daring mercenary fights for freedom against corrupt kings as they battle for control of the Roman Empire. You can stream Medieval instantly on Redbox On Demand today. It's rated R from Paramount Pictures. Everything about that sounds awesome. Ben Foster is a fantastic actor, and Michael Caine is Michael Caine. So definitely check out Medieval. It's out now. If you want a chance to win a digital copy, we are giving 5 of those away. You can enter to win at contests@thehollywoodoutsider.com. contests@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Use the subject line, "Let's get medieval," and your name, and we'll respond to the winners. All right, let's move on to our From the Outside In topic. All right, this is going to be something we don't do very, very often. We're going to talk about politics. In fact, if you've ever listened to our show, we hardly ever talk about politics. We try to keep politics out of it. And I don't mean our personal politics. I don't care what any of these guys vote. I don't care what you vote. I don't care what anyone listening votes. I just don't care. Your vote is your choice. We're talking about how often politics are ruining entertainment and if it's true. So let's start with it's going to be a conversation, but you know, questions move conversations forward. How often does politics interrupt your conversations these days?
I'm going to have to say that very little these days because I don't really talk to an awful lot of people. But when I'm at work, no politics. When I'm here at home, you know, maybe in a car ride to the grocery store with my pop, he might tell me some story about something that happened on the internet that was stupid that he didn't agree with. Like, that's about it. I don't really find that politics is creeping much into my life these days, and I appreciate it.
We talk about it enough because we listen to some politic podcasts, especially Congressional Dish with my friend Jen Briney. Check that one out. And We're Not Wrong, also with Jen Briney. Both of those are pretty decent shows. And being an election judge, I think I talk about it more than I'd like to because I have to constantly tell people about how the election process works and how it's not rigged and how it's not staged and how it's not, you know, in a Hollywood studio. Coming down a ladder, landing on the moon. It's just, there's so many bogus things out there because people are trying to take away your vote and take away your voice. And so I have to be out there telling people like, no, you're wrong. Sorry. And go back to school and understand how a bill becomes a bill because it's important who actually makes those bills for the future.
Can I ask you a question? Because seriously, I want to just have a conversation. So as an election judge, do you find that the younger generation doesn't like, it's not being taught as much in terms of how the system works? Do you feel like they're not learning that government, or do you feel like, yeah, they have a pretty good grasp on it?
I mean, I know that my kids learned how elections work in school, in high school. There's actually classes on government and economics. It's actually required for them to take the Constitution test when they're in seventh grade.
Yeah, it should be
in the state of Illinois. So there are definitely people that are teaching things the right way. And I think that at the end of the day, what I don't see a lot of, though, is a lot of younger people coming to the polls on election day.
Mm-hmm.
What I do see is a lot of mail-in drop-off ballots happening prior to election day at the offsite election place. And that's where you see a lot of people that are in the younger generation, like doing early voting or doing mail-in ballots or doing early drop-off, just because the younger generation's got stuff to do and they don't have time to take off on election day. So I think the more that we can make election day, election week, month, what have you, and expand the amount of time people can vote, I think you'll have a lot more people voting because they're not hindered by that one day of voting.
I've gotten to the point where I just try to avoid political conversations because if you don't agree with whoever you're talking to, typically it just turns into an argument because they're just trying to persuade you that you're wrong, right? That's how it is these days. It just seems like somebody's just trying to tell you that you're wrong. Even if, like, I'm big on facts. I don't care about your opinions. I don't care which way you lean. Lean however you want, but a fact is a fact. And, you know, if you go through, you know, somebody brings up that the election's rigged and you're like, well, there's 62 plus court cases. They were all lost. There's actually no, there's no indication that there would be any fraud that would be relevant to overturning an election. Like, it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. They don't want to hear that. And they'll argue up and down because of, for whatever their personal reasons is. I'm not knocking them for whatever they want to believe. I'm just saying, I'm not going to not acknowledge that a fact is a fact. I feel like that's a dangerous slope that we keep getting toward, where people just want to, my opinion is my opinion and I'm allowed to have my opinion, which you are, but you don't get to have your own facts. If it's not a fact, that don't, I just won't have that conversation. I'm just not going to have a conversation about something I know is factual. And you just don't want to acknowledge it. That's your right to not acknowledge it. That's a fact. So it ends up happening quite frequently, especially because I have half of my family is on one side of the aisle and the other half is on the other side of the aisle. I'm firmly in the middle, always have been. And I've voted both sides of that aisle. But for whatever reason, my family's very adamantly on either side. It is what it is. So I end up having those conversations quite frequently. What I really get tired of is when I'm trying to talk about anything else and politics keep creeping into it. You know, I'm trying to talk about a movie I saw and that actor is, I'm tired of hearing about his politics, da 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 da. Or, you know, that movie just seems so political or da 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 da. I mean, just whatever it is, I'm tired of that coming into it. You know, that's happening a lot more than has ever happened in my lifetime. It used to be, remember, like when we were even 10 years ago, nobody talked about politics. Like, it was the taboo subject. That and, you know, how many sexual partners you've had. Those are like two things you never talked about. Now everybody wants to talk about
it. Right. My last position with my last company, when I was working in the office still, that was every day. I would go walking by and somebody would be like, hey, did you see that movie with so-and-so in it? I'd be like, yeah, well, it was pretty great. Well, I'm not going to watch it because he said such and such about so-and-so and it made me mad. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's your right.
People seem to see politics in everything. And I'm just like, how do you get politics out of freaking Iron Man or whatever it is? It's just most of the time, I just think you're trying to inject your personal philosophies into it. And it's just not necessary. It just takes away from the enjoyment I get from talking about movies on TV, because it used to be that wasn't a conversation point.
It is exhausting. You know, I don't want to see that movie because they changed this about that character and that character isn't supposed to be this and I don't agree with it. Okay. That's still your right.
Sure.
It's taken away from the art from a standpoint of people try to write art in such a way that they have to get a message out that isn't getting out. Right. Grey's Anatomy this past week, for example, is a perfect one to pick on because they had a whole episode about having to cross state lines in order to get people abortions that they need. And they had to go pick up a lady who was in Idaho, bring her back to the Washington side, I think it was. And she had an ectopic pregnancy and literally could not get the surgery to save her life from an ectopic pregnancy because the doctors in Idaho are afraid to perform a D&C because they don't want to get sued because it's against the law to do an abortion. And so these are the kind of stories I think that are good in entertainment because they're showing that it's not like they're not trying to kill babies. They're trying to save women from certain procedures because the procedure is called a D&C, which is the same procedure that's done during an abortion. So these types of stories need to get out there in the media.
I don't know if I agree with that.
It's the ones where you're pushing the agenda is the other issue.
I don't know if I agree. Like, I will say, I mean, I get what you're saying. You're in a way that show is trying to educate people, right? It's Grey's Anatomy. I don't know if I'd take anything they had to say as education though, personally, but you know, to each their own. Right. But in the same token, if somebody says I watch Grey's Anatomy and I'm just turned off by the show because I don't want my politics and my entertainment, I get that argument because everywhere you go now, somebody is talking politics. Like, everything is political now. Everything you do is political. You know, what we did with healthcare was politicized. You know, all that vaccines to try to help slow the spread was politicized. Everything has been politicized in the last several years, and it just keeps getting amplified. I would be exhausted if I were them too. You know, I feel like some people just want to shut them down and say, oh, this is important, da 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 da. Well, they're burned out, man. I mean, at some point, it gets exhausting to keep hearing about political actions when I just want to watch a stupid medical show that's been on for 27 years and should have been canceled 10 years ago. You know what I mean? I think that hurts entertainment in a way, because it does turn people off to it. And they have a right to be exhausted and be tired, because to be fair, Hollywood tends to lean left, right? We can all agree on that. And so they're constantly preaching in many respects whenever they're taking on a topic. They're preaching their own agendas. Would you guys agree with that?
Sure.
That's fair. So ultimately, the person who's telling the story is going to tell the story from their point of view. And you get a lot of people in Hollywood who do lean very left. And you do have some people in Hollywood who lean right, and they've, especially in the last 10, 15 years, have been punished for doing so.
Yes.
Like, my examples for that are people like Tim Allen and James Wood. Both of them are very right-leaning actors, and you don't get to see much about them lately because of their political leanings, and people don't want to choose not to work with them. Now, is that fair? Maybe not. But this goes back to, you can't tell one side to that they can't come out and talk about what they want to talk about, and still be able to work the next day, or try to say there's a reason why that person needs to be taken off of TV. But when it happens the other direction, it's a double-edged sword, is what I'm trying to say, I think.
No, I understand what you're saying, and I
you guys normally know what I'm saying, so you guys tell me.
I can interpret it, I think. It's very true. I mean, you have people that feel like they're constantly being preached on. If you're on the more conservative side of the aisle, and I'm not judging you either way, sincerely, I'm not just playing that, trying to be safe or anything like that. I legitimately am not judging anyone on their political leanings. I judge people on your as a person, always as a person. Who are you as a person? What do you believe in as a person? What do you do as a person? That's what I care about. So if you're more conservative and you're watching anything in movies and TV, predominantly it's left-leaning. And people always wonder, like, why do they watch Fox News? Why do they watch? Because there's not much tailored to them. Yellowstone is probably the rare exception, right? That's a very kind of conservative show. And that's become extremely popular because they're not being served in that respect from Hollywood, because Hollywood is very left-leaning. So a lot of issues do go through TV shows and movies that are, and they're always slanted or predominantly slanted left. I don't think either way is fair, but that's definitely not fair. And it's annoying either way. I don't want to hear about it from either side. I just want to watch my stuff. You can have a deep movie, then I think it should matter. If you're having a movie like Till, that needs to have a focus, because it's a very important focus. You know, where that whole ideology is very important. Where you're watching Captain America, I don't think it's as important. You want to just escape for a couple hours. Hopefully I make sense. All right, moving on. Do you feel there's too much political ideology in today's entertainment? And think of it like actors getting headlines for tweets or statements, identity politics. The name Trump is literally everywhere. Election coverage is literally everywhere. Political leanings and entertainment reporting, like, it's very, you know, the reporting itself is not just facts anymore and details. It's agenda driven. It's opinion based. Actors stating their views constantly. News organizations partaking in movies and TV. You know, you're watching a movie and bam, CNN shows up, or bam, Fox News shows up, whoever it is. Whatever that is, do you feel there's too much of it?
I definitely think there's a barrage of things currently, because obviously midterms are this week as we're dropping the episode. Hopefully your people won that you voted for. I don't think it's as over the top in your face as it is during a presidential year. I think that's kind of the thing. Like, when you get into the presidential years, it is everywhere, in every speech and every place that you go. And I think part of the niceness of it all is that we don't have ads, because we don't have to see the political ad over and over and over.
Oh, thank God.
Except for maybe on YouTube, as you get closer to the election, then you see like the 5 minute or 15 second or whatever it is campaign ad that you're going to run into on YouTube. So, you know, in the entertainment, I want to be entertained, but I also want entertainment to be art. And I want people to that make the entertainment, because it is them making their art and expressing their points of view in their art. I want them to be able to have the voice they want to have without having to be cautious or silent or whatever, because I'm scared people aren't going to watch my thing because they don't agree with me. Like, just make the content and then let the content speak for itself. And if people aren't going to watch it, people aren't going to watch it. And if people are going to, people are going to listen to this podcast, they're not going to listen to this podcast. You know, we're not going to lose sleep overnight because of it. We're going to put out the content we want to put out.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can decide for themselves.
Also, I just went completely blank on whatever that was we're talking about, but I guess it was because of this politics. And so my brain just goes, let's just shut down for a little bit and not be a part of this. I am a little annoyed at the idea that politics have become so, it's starting to become its own brand of entertainment.
Oh,
it's no longer, something that is informative. It's no longer anything that is trying to convey news or any of those things. It is entertainment, and we should start trusting it the same ways we trust entertainment to a lot of different degrees, because ultimately when you're looking at things, you're looking at the points of view of people who have that same standing as the entertainers that you're constantly berating for giving their opinion on things. So I find that the fact that it is entertainment and that we can't take it seriously is becoming more and more disenfranchising to the rest of us, or to all of us in general, because of the idea that we can't trust what we're looking at.
Yeah, that's extremely frustrating, because it's gotten to the point where, and, you know, I don't know if it's started with Trump or before then, but it feels like more politicians are interested in celebrity than they are actually, you know, government, which is what they're supposed to be there for. Like, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been kicked off of every committee she's been on. And so she's actually not doing anything effective in government, but she's a huge political star. She's constantly all over my TV, and I don't even watch much news, but she's everywhere. She's on Twitter. She's on, you know, everywhere. And she's not even doing anything with her actual job. Go look up her record. Her record sucks. She's not doing anything. And it happens on both sides. I'm just saying, because she's the first one that pops in my head. That's not what it's supposed to be about. We're giving power to people that aren't even doing anything. They're just using it to rile up their base over and over and over again. And because of that, that's what news wants to do now, is they want to constantly be getting ratings. They're trying to be more entertaining, so they're just focused on those particular personalities, and that's infecting every other avenue of entertainment. You know, all of the late night shows, they have to do political jokes now. They didn't used to even do that. You know, Johnny Carson and Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien, they tended to stay away from political humor. Now that's every late night show. And it's always, typically, it's leaning left. It's just too much, man. It's exhausting. And here's the stuff that bothers me in terms of too much political ideology. Like, if you say you like Dave Chappelle currently, I'm just giving examples, okay? Don't attack me. If you say you like Dave Chappelle or J.K. Rowling currently, somehow you're against trans people. Just because you enjoy one of their comedy specials, or you enjoy Harry Potter or whatever, that's the return of investment on that statement to you in social media. You guys agree with that? Like, that's how quickly that turnaround is.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
How does that track? Like, you can't be a fan of somebody's work and still disagree with their viewpoints, or maybe you agree with their viewpoints. I don't know, but does that devalue them entirely because this is not your viewpoint? Like, that's where we're at. No one gets to have any other opinion for anything. They can't enjoy an entertainer's work, even if they don't agree with certain personal statements. I feel like people are greater than one or two viewpoints, and we're losing that completely. Is that a reasonable place that we're in currently? Or is that just, we're in an absurd moment in time?
Everything is absurd.
Everything's crazy. Nothing makes sense. Cats and dogs no longer identifying as cats and dogs. It's a lot. I think it's absurd that you can't even like people anymore. Like, I brought up James Woods because I was thinking about what one of my favorite movies for a long time was. And in large part, it's because of James Woods, and it's Digstown.
Oh, it's a great movie. Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah, Lou Gossett Jr., James Woods, a boxer and a con man, are trying to win over a town.
Yep.
And James Woods is an interesting person on screen. He's an interesting person off screen when it comes to his political ideology. And yet you don't get to see a lot of what he's doing anymore because Hollywood isn't having him anymore. I don't think it's necessarily fair. At the same time, I don't agree with a lot of the things that he's said, but I do enjoy watching him work. The same thing with Tim Allen. I enjoy watching Tim Allen work. I don't agree with some of his political ideologies, but to Tim Allen's credits, I didn't know what those were for as long as I've liked them. I've only learned those in the last 4 or 5 years, what he's more about than I ever did before. So should people leave politics out of their life, and especially if they're in Hollywood, so that they can keep on working? I would say yes. I would like to be able to continue to enjoy these things. But I feel like it is possible for me to say, I like both these guys, and then all of a sudden, I agree with everything that they happen to say. The two things are not mutually exclusive.
What I don't understand is, in this day and age, one of my closest friends in the world is completely opposite in ideology for me. Right? He just sees the world a different way than I do. Come from a similar background, but still we see things differently. It happens. I don't think any less of him over that than I would any other thing. It, to me, I know him as a person. I know who he is. You know, I know his heart and da, 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 da. So I know who he is, but it feels like we're in this state where people are making complete judgments on who someone is as a person because they like a Dave Chappelle or they like J.K. Rowling. They don't think J.K. Rowling is that bad, whatever the situation is. People are making entire judgments on their personality based on that, or they like Tim Allen, you know, whatever it is. And it works on both sides. You know, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, but it works on both sides. Dave Chappelle is a champion for the left for a long time. So I don't understand how that was lost so drastically, but here we are. No question. Just a statement. Just something that bugs me.
It is something that you can be bugged by, because this is the thing that frustrates me about us, was that we're becoming so one side or the other. I can't think of the right word at the moment, but it's becoming so much so that we can't even have conversations anymore. We don't have the energy to want to be around those people. And yet here we are, and it's just feeding into more of the problem, which is that the farther and farther apart we are, the more and more unstable the country is in general. And we need to start doing things that bring us back together again, as opposed to find reasons to find out, oh, you're a liberal, I want nothing to do with you, swipe left. If you, oh, you voted for Trump, swipe left. You know, that's just, it's exhausting. We should be able to have these conversations, and we're missing out on a lot of things that are beautiful about life by throwing people in these camps and saying, I don't want anything to do with these camps.
I think that's why people forget that purple is actually a royal color. It's also my favorite color. Just not when it's for the Minnesota Vikings, but we need more purple people. And I think that's probably the issue, is that we've locked ourselves into this two-party system. And because of the two-party system, like, we don't have any chance of any other color being represented, whether it's green, whether it's yellow, whether it's purple, whether it's white, brown, I don't care. Like, the red and blue parties need to stop, and we need to figure out who are the purple people that are actually going to get this country. Cause there is way more moderates than there are far right or far left.
Well, it's never going to happen if people stop having conversations. We got to a point where people stopped having actual conversations. A conversation is not what I say and then ignoring what you say. It's actually hearing someone else's side, listening. Listening means, like, actually taking it in and maybe being open to reevaluating something. I'm not saying, like, your whole world outlook, but maybe understanding where that person's coming from, because everyone has a different life than you. So everyone has a different upbringing and circumstance and financial position and class. All that stuff is varied specifically for every single person. So how you feel like you can judge someone based on how they voted for one thing. You know, I've had this, like I said, I talked about, you know, half my family is one side, half my family is the other side, right? So one side of my family is very religious, and I'm fine with either side of my family. I think they're all wonderful people. Well, the part of my family that's very religious are obviously against abortion. Typically, most religious people tend to be against abortion for whatever their personal reasons, but they see it from their perspective that it's murder, where those on the left don't see it that way. They see it very, very different. I think both arguments are fair if you just take a second to look at the person's perspective. I'm not saying right or wrong, because I have my own personal perspective, but I don't discount them as a human being, because in their mind, they look at it as murder, and it's hard to dissuade them from that. They feel like once a life is there, it's a life. It should be protected. I understand all the arguments. I'm not saying that there isn't a valid point to your argument if you're listening and you're yelling at your radio. I'm just saying look at it from their mindset, if you take 5 seconds to listen to where they're coming from, to them, it's no different than killing someone on the street. Like, that's just how they look at it. It's a different perspective that's not yours. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's different. And we don't take the time to listen to those different perspectives. And just on the same token, if you're on the left and you're for it, you see it as it's a woman's right to choose. It's her body. It's not your place to determine. It's you believe what you want. You don't get to determine what someone else does with their body. It's their body. And maybe they don't consider it a life until it's, you know, several months down the road. Whatever it is, everybody has a different perspective. And if you're on the right and you're against abortion, you need to take the second to look at someone else's opinion. Maybe that's a factor. And left to right, same thing. We don't have that anymore. We don't have nuance. We don't have conversations. So that topic comes up, like you're talking about in Grey's Anatomy, Troy, and everybody that's watching that has already made up their mind no matter what. That's not changing anyone's mind in this modern society.
And I think that's where entertainment has a purpose, because entertainment should be having these conversations, because we all can sit down, whether we're white, black, red, blue, doesn't matter. We could all sit down and say, hey, Grey's Anatomy is still a top 20 show, and we can watch Grey's Anatomy together. And then we can have those conversations. I think entertainment is going to help drive those conversations to happen, because if we're going, well, I watch Fox News and I watch CNN, that's not going to happen, because that's still staying within the bubble. We need artists to basically push the envelope to have us think about things critically and differently. And I hope that
both sides of a story, though. Both sides of a story.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, and the part of the problem in that both sides of the story is that especially with Hollywood doing what Hollywood does and everything being very one-sided, the people who are portrayed from one side to the other are always portrayed as cartoon characters of what's really going on or what their thoughts are, or the most extreme version of not great. And there's a lot of people who are like, well, wait a minute, that person who's not great, I really agree with their points of view, but they're making them look like a toothless moron. Like, I would be upset about that.
Yeah. That's because you're open to nuance.
What is nuance?
Exactly. So can you separate politics from your entertainment, or are politics ruining your entertainment?
Separate. Still going to watch the shows that I like. If I like the story, I like the story.
Can you watch a show that is completely for a specific frame of mind that you are completely against, whatever that is politically? Can you watch that and enjoy it as the show it is, or does that bother you?
I mean, if there's equal representation in the show, so like, let's say the show is for...
Nope, I'm not saying equal. I'm saying, can you watch a show that's, let's say, because we've all agreed that it's predominantly left-leaning topics, right? It seems to be, sure. That's Hollywood. So can you watch a show that like maybe advocates for ending, like say ending abortion, like say if you're for abortion legality, can you watch a show that is not for abortion, that's against abortions?
Well, that's a touchy subject. Why don't we go guns?
Okay.
So I lean towards the left, right? Not, I'm still very purple, but I lean more left than right. But when it comes to I have a right to own a gun, I absolutely think that's true. I don't have a right to own a semi-automatic weapon that shoots off 1,000 rounds in 5 seconds. So I think, yes, there should be some gun reform, but I'm not saying take away guns permanently. So if the show were to be like a gun show, sure, I'd watch gun shows. That's not a big deal.
What if they're pro AR-15? If it's a show that's like advocating for AR-15, maybe they even throw in a little commercial for an AR-15. Can you watch that and enjoy the show for what it is? Like, can you truly separate yourself?
I mean, it depends on like how over the top it is. I mean, if it's a military show where they're, you know, trying to recruit kids or whatever to come to the military, and it's like, whatever. What was that one show, like the FBI or whatever it was? With Chop Girl?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Quantico.
Yeah. It was like Grey's Anatomy, but for the FBI. But if it was like that, but for the military, and it's more hard and, you know, that kind of rough and tough, blue collar kind of perspective on it, it might be a great show. Like SEAL Team is a great show, right?
SEAL Team is a great show.
There's one that was Scott Foley was in one that was like the unit with Dennis Hasbrouck and Scott Foley and... somebody, those are great shows. I mean, there's nothing wrong with military shows, right? Support the military. Military's there for a reason. But if it's when it's like, they're trying to take them away from us. It's like, no, we're not they're not trying to take it away from you. They're trying to just put better laws in place to prevent bad people from getting things that they shouldn't get.
I find most of the time I can separate the message they're trying to say and the entertainment value out of it. So if I find that I'm enjoying myself and it's a good entertainment value, then I can find myself ignoring whatever political message they're trying to deliver to me. If I don't find the entertainment value on it and it starts feeling like a propaganda film, whatever the propaganda film happens to be, whether it's for the environment, whether it's for guns or against guns, whether it's for abortion or against abortion, if the entertainment value is higher than the feeling of a propaganda movie, then I'm all for it. I have something in me that identifies propaganda really quickly, and it makes me crazy when I see it, and it makes me sick when I see it. And that's somebody who's purposely pointing more towards something that I think is darker than people realize it really is. And I don't dig on that. But again, entertainment, if it's really entertainment, then I'm good. I mean, the things that I can think of as far as recent times, there was a movie about a school shooter, how a little girl was in the school, got out of the school, and then went running back in the school with guns to go save the rest of the students with. I didn't see the movie. When I saw what the story was, saw who was directing it, saw what was going on in it, I was like, oh, this is what we call propaganda. Because there was nothing to that made me think that, oh, this is trying to do something better than just say guns are good and everyone should have one.
Sure.
When you flip that around, you have a movie like Becky, which has Kevin James playing a neo-Nazi breaking into a house and killing a family, and the girl who's Becky goes and decides that she's going to take revenge and try to save her family from these neo-Nazis. Completely different kind of story, completely different kind of feel to it. Can you say that it is could be a propaganda film? No, because it doesn't do the same thing that propaganda films do. It actually focuses more on entertaining as well as empowering young female people.
I have a hard time these days. And I think part of it is because there's so much politics and everything anymore. I'm tired of hearing political speeches. I'm tired of people attacking other people's viewpoints, not facts. I'm fine with attacking a lack of facts. This crazy world where everyone's supposed to feel exactly the same is nonsense. It drives me nuts. I was raised very much to listen to everybody's viewpoint. Like, that's just how I grew up. No matter what it is, I'm open to hear it, and I'll make my assessment later after I hear it all. I think people expect the other side of whatever they believe to listen to their viewpoint, yet they do not want to listen to that other side's viewpoint, and that's exhausting. And I think because of that, when I watch something now, unless I'm reviewing it, I'm pretty good about removing my own personal junk when I'm reviewing something. That's just how my brain works. I can compartmentalize pretty well. But if I'm watching for enjoyment, for sheer enjoyment, and I see that they're pushing an agenda of some sort or pushing a topic and it feels forced in any way, that will take me out of it. It'll actually turn me off. I'm like, you know what? I'm out. I don't want this. I want to escape. I didn't want a heavy topic today. I didn't want to have to wrestle with this. And so it can take me out of it at times. And there is one particular topic that always will take me out of it, is if, you know, I was in the military briefly. My grandfathers were both in the military. To me, when I see anything that is kind of not attacking political motives or anything of that nature, but attacking the soldiers themselves or kind of making light of them, that always kind of takes me out of something, because I know how much they sacrifice and they've given and don't get back. And that one will always affect my entertainment level. Otherwise, I'm just sick of politics and my stuff. I'm tired of people bringing it up for no reason and wanting to have a whole conversation about it pertaining to a movie or a TV show they just watched that I don't even understand. How did you get that? How did you reach that end? Ugh. All right, let's get some listener thoughts here. We asked in our Facebook group, which is where we do our polling, we asked listeners, are politics ruining entertainment, right? And then we're going to talk about what they have to say. Daniel Bellum says, no impact to what I watch. I only watch light, entertaining things, so just avoid anything that isn't that. Some impact to what I surf. Hard to enjoy Reddit when front page keeps getting the national or local politics. F you, democracy. Yeah. I mean, I see that in entertainment news too, all the time, where they're because they want those clicks so drastically, they are trying to incite people to be outraged. Like, if any person tweets something that's even remotely inappropriate, they are throwing it into an article and trying to get people to buy into it, because that'll just get them clicking like mad and reading all the articles that follow. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, that's exhausting. It's all of that is exhausting. And it's one of the reasons why I've cut down my Facebook activities down to, you know, maybe 5 minutes a day is what I give to Facebook these days. You know, that's, I really just can't do it. If you're not going to show me a pretty picture, I don't want anything to do with it anymore.
All right. Andreas, always a good listener and Patreon supporter. So thanks as always, Andreas. Juicy topic. I don't think politics, it's juicy, Andreas, but I think these two are dancing around a little bit because they don't want to get on Twitter hell. But I don't think politics ruins entertainment.
I've gotten in trouble before.
That's true. You have. I understand. People's reactions and shitstorms on the internet do. That's fair. Jason West. For the most part, no. But the current political environment we live in is one contributing reason Top Gun Maverick was the huge hit it was. The movie was considered the quote-unquote anti-woke by many. People needed to feel like true Americans, and unfortunately being considered a true patriot has become a two-edged sword. I hate the word woke, by the way. I hate the way it's used currently, Jason, but the way that it was originally intended and it was being used to describe things that we should be, you know, injustices that we should be alerted to, the original intent was a very, something people should be proud of. It's been distorted, of course, by people. What do you think about Top Gun Maverick? You think it was the anti-woke movie?
I don't know if it was anti-woke necessarily. I mean, when you go into Top Gun, people know what Top Gun is. It's a fighter pilot movie. They're going to go fight some Russians. And I think it also did really great because everybody's kind of like back in that kind of Cold War mentality right now. Russia attacking Ukraine. Russia's the bad guy. It's something that people could rally behind. And I think it was, you know, put out at the exact right time for Americans to kind of feel like Americans again. You know, a problem with politics is that we've become, you know, North and South, blue and red, two Americas. Top Gun was like, we are all back in it, like we were after 9/11, where we're all helping each mm-hmm. other.
Yeah, when did it become wrong to be like a real, like, proud of your country? Like, why is that bad? When did that start? We can be disappointed in certain things and still, like, hey man, go travel the world. We've got it better than a lot of people.
The number one thing is that we need to figure out a way to just limit terms of people. Politics was not supposed to be a career. It was supposed to be run to, you know, support your people, and then when you're done, get out, so that we have new ideas. And that's the challenge. We don't have critical thinking because we don't have new ideas.
I've said for at least two decades, term limits will fix most of what's wrong that you feel is wrong with America. We have people that are running the country that have been running it for 70 years, it feels like. Well, I mean, actually is like at least 50 or 60. It's ridiculous.
A great example of like how you come together. They were trying to make a hybrid Audi Roadster, and Audi basically called this YouTube guy and said, no, you're not allowed to do that. We're going to go ahead and do it for you. And they basically told the engineers, like, stop everything you're doing. All we are going to do is work on building this one car. And it is like the coolest $12 million piece of machinery you've ever seen. And everything in that car is technology that didn't exist before. And now that technology is now going to be making its way into like 2024, 2025 Audis that are for the everyday people. So like, that's the things we need to do as a society, is be able to just say, stop. We're all going to get in a room. We're all going to work on this one thing and fix one thing at a time instead of trying to fix everything.
Interesting.
I'm sure there's enough people who can go get in different rooms about different things and we can deal with more things at once.
We can't even fix one thing right now. That's the problem. Start small. Start small. If three of us can get in a room and make a new movie out of something, then, you know, we should be able to figure out how to fix aging highways and power problems.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. It takes us years to do things that you can go to China and Japan and other countries and they get it done in, what, months? It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. That's a whole nother. That we'd have to start a podcast for that topic.
The fact that we don't have high-speed rail like they have in Asia is just astronomically confusing at this point.
It's not confusing. You know why. We price everything out of existence and we're not as efficient.
Right.
Simple as that. Ty Nelson, I'm pretty good about steering away from movies or TV that look like they're politicized. What bothers me most about this topic is award shows. I really wish winner speeches were more about the art, careers, and processes of making films and less about causes. Also, any politician who successfully bans political ads will win my vote. I'm so sick of seeing the commercials nonstop when I'm trying to watch something on TV. Award shows. Like, I think we've talked about this before, but I agree. I don't need your political ideology in your speech. You're winning for something you did in a film. Maybe spend that time thanking the crew or talking about the art itself. Or do you guys feel like, hey, if it's reasonable and notable cause, that's the time to make it? Where do you guys land on that?
Yeah, definitely no award show.
Yeah, I'm tired of seeing it at award shows now, and especially seeing how everyone has a free and easy access to being platformed at any given moment in their life anymore, especially if they already have a huge band of followers behind them. There's no need for them to stand up and distract from the award shows anymore, because they can just take their award, they can go on stage, whip out their phone, do a live video. I just got the award for this. Don't beat your kids, and then walk away.
Excuse me while I whip this thing out. Sorry. You said whip out my phone. I'm Blazing Saddles. Comes back. Your point is well accepted. Sorry, I ruined it. Lauren Thomas Williams is coming in hot with his. You ready? Sit down. I don't think politics is ruining entertainment. I think a lot of people don't want certain people's politics in entertainment. While I agree you can tell when things are lazily shoved in a story and not done with nuance, the perpetual crying of woke ruining shows and films is just racist and, yes, colonizers wanting to keep what they thought was only their stale. You're right. Entertainment should be an escape. For many, for too long, they can't escape what others just consider politics, and their art, whatever it is going to echo that. I do think the industry thinks the only solution is to place underrepresented groups and existing properties and call it diversity. True progress would be original stories from these voices succeeding without the crutch of an established property. Also, he's got a second point to that. To ask that these things not be political is to, one, ignore how very political and problematic that industry operates to this day, and two, how integral the art of film and television has been in the upholding of white supremacy and American imperialism internationally. Birth of a Nation, a pivotal advancement in filmmaking, was used to reignite the KKK and white supremacist terror on African Americans at a time when progress was thought to be made. So if you don't like it, change the channel or reexamine your politics. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's a very strong and deep statement. So there's not really much more I can add to that. He's put together a pretty strong argument.
He has. The only thing I will say is, just like, I don't like labels of any sort. So labeling people racist or colonizers just because they don't like quote unquote woke television or things that they consider of that nature, I don't think that's a fair statement. I think, once again, I'm very big on every individual is themselves. And I feel like nothing should stop a conversation. You should always invite it so we can actually get to the root of things. No, there are people that are just plain racist. I'm not arguing that. Kyle Nolan. Yes, I watch TV and movies to escape the news and politics. I don't want to tune into a show only to have it be a heavy-handed rehash of the same, especially when it's a biased, one-sided portrayal of the subject matter. I think that can go either way. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I can go.
I don't want to tune in and purposely get hit with a hammer.
Oh, and I do want to go back. I do love Lauren's point about it would benefit voices more by creating new properties. Don't just recast something with an actor of color. Create new properties for them. I don't see why you should. And I think you're starting to see that more and more, but more positivity too. There's too many slave dramas. What about just a black couple in love? You know, just a Hispanic romantic comedy, Asian romantic comedy. I mean, those sell. Make more of them.
Yeah, Lovecraft Country was a great show, right? The problem was, like, not a lot of people were interested in this supernatural part of Lovecraft. But man, like, make more Lovecraft without the supernatural. I mean, that was such a great, great depiction of the time period and digging into what was going on in that Jim Crow era.
That's wild. It's a wild show. Carlos Martinez, lastly, what's exhausting is the constant pandering, virtue signaling, and people acting as if some of the content is doing things we've never seen before. Before Mr. Panther, there was Blade. Before Insert Strong Woman Here, there was Ripley and Connor. I'm also tired of, quote-unquote, blaming colonizers for all of the evils in the world. Then there's the representation lie. First of all, there are no Hispanics in Star Wars. What draws me in are relatable characters, not something superficial like the way they look. That's a big one, I would say. Like, there seems to be, every time someone of color is cast in anything now, it's made to be a big article. And I don't know if, does it need to be every time? Because shouldn't they just blend in as one of the characters as opposed to, oh, look, that's that person of color they cast. That's that gay person. That's that trans person. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess I kind of get more trans because that's still, they're still trying to find footing in the entertainment industry. So that's remarkable when one is cast in a prominent role. But gays and people of color have been cast in prominent roles for years. So why is it still being clickbait, I guess?
It's still trying to push the envelope of representation. And even though people are represented, it's not represented enough, right? If you want to get to a 50-50 state, we got to get to a 50-50 or a 30-30-30 or whatever it would end up being, depending on which creed or race or religion or gender or sexual preference. You know, we have to get to a place where it's more blended, and we're still behind the eight ball, even when it comes to women and blacks in specific things.
So you're saying it's still being brought up in articles over and over again because the representation is still up and coming. It's still building.
Yeah, it's better, moving in the right direction, hopefully. But it's definitely something that's still a challenge.
I get what he's saying. I think what he's trying to say, and I'm sorry, Carlos, if I'm not trying to speak for you, but the way I read it is, and Carlos is Hispanic, and I believe that's why he's pointing that out. You know, for him, he's watching it. It's just Star Wars. You know, it doesn't matter to him what their race is because it's Star Wars. And I think it should be like that. It probably just isn't yet. Is what your point is that we're still not quite to where it would be just an even blend. I mean, I feel like there's a lot more diversity than I've ever seen in my lifetime. I don't know what the percentage breakdown is, but I definitely know that there's a lot more diversity. I mean, even than 5 years ago, like, progress is being made quite substantially the last few years in that respect. The one thing I will say is I get tired of people saying, well, I gotta make an all black movie and da 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 da. I gotta make an all Hispanic movie. We've had all white movies for years. You're just used to them. To you, it's just a movie. To them, they haven't seen that, you know, so I get that argument.
Right.
All right, anything else on politics and movies? Are you guys sick of talking about it? I know I am.
I'm tired.
We have a big enough political movie to watch during the course of the election this week, because I'm sure a lot of races will not be decided on Tuesday night. So buckle up, get your popcorn. It's a 12-hour marathon coming your way.
These days, some people just won't accept them, so you never know. We'll see how it goes. Go watch The Contender. That's one of my favorite political movies of all time. What's one of your favorite political movies to watch?
Dave.
I was about to say Dave.
That's a good one.
American President, Michael Douglas.
Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy. I love that one.
Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy. Yes.
Yeah, Distinguished Gentleman. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's good.
Goddamn.
Some bitch.
Election coverage is going to make you sad one way or another. So just watch some kind of, watch a movie that makes you feel good about politics, because actual politics don't make you feel good anymore.
If you want to see like a true election being rigged, watch Election with Reese Witherspoon and Matthew Broderick.
Wow. Or just go find a documentary on Putin's election. Share your thoughts on this episode or anything else in our Facebook group or on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. Our site is thehollywoodoutsider.com. And you can rate and subscribe us. You can find John's artwork on Insta or Twitter at rjohndraws, Troy and at Troy Heinrichs, and also on Beyond Westworld, rest in peace, and the Blacklist Exposed podcast, as well as me on Presenting Hitchcock and at Aaron Smirks. That's it, guys. Remember, the next time you head to a theater, which, by God, go instead of watching more election crap, buy popcorn. And by the way, I hope your side won.
That sounded genuine.
It wasn't. Yeah, I want them all to lose. I want to start over. Welcome to the Hollywood Outs.
All right, God, hold it tight.
Fucking hate you. Not literally, just figuratively.